Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of Quad Cities Business Beat. We are joined today by Zach, my husband.
Woo!
Partner in crime.
Oh, yeah.
Lynn LeMaster, Prescott E! News.
Hello.
And Mike Daniels with Ability Renovations.
Hello.
How are y'all doing today?
We're doing good.
Good.
Enjoying the little last bit of warm weather.
Yeah, it's supposed to snow and rain, I guess, and get really cold. So I'm looking forward to that.
I'm not.
It might make your life a little more difficult with work.
Yeah.
Well, this podcast is brought to you by me. I'm an independent ambassador with Plexus Worldwide. And the
you
reason,
know what? I'm not sure you said who me is yet.
Oh, Lynette. I'm Lynette. I'm the host of the Quad City Business Beat. This podcast is brought to you by me, Lynette. I am an independent ambassador with Plexus Worldwide. And we just wanted to have a conversation with local business people to kind of let us know who they are, what they do, why they chose Prescott, what makes them different. It's a good conversation to have just, you know, and it's not necessarily just Prescott, it's the Quad Cities. So, Mike, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thanks for inviting me in here today to have a conversation. It's always a good time to talk about myself and my business. I am the owner, along with my son and my son-in-law, of Ability Prescott LLC. And under Ability Prescott, we actually have three companies. And the one most people have heard of is Ability Remodeling and Home Services, and that's a residential remodeling company. We also have Prescott Cabinets, where we sell mostly Wellborn cabinets, but we do have other lines that we'll sell or represent. And then Prescott Lifestyle Decks. So we found a need here for a good deck builder, so we build and remodel residential decks for the most part. We could do commercial, I guess, using composite and exotic woods like tiger wood and camaroo and ipo and the such. Yeah.
So
very, very cool.
Where do you get that wood from?
It's the last batch that I've been used was Brazilian. It's a Brazilian hardwood, but I have to find suppliers around the country and have it shipped in. It's not like I can go down to the local lumber yard and buy that stuff. But, man, we just did one up at Prescott Lakes with the tiger wood, and I got to tell you, it's the most beautiful deck, the floor you've ever seen. You'd wish it was in your house. It's
really?
So gorgeous. And the cool thing about it is, and I didn't come here to talk about decks today, but in the old days, we just built our decks out of redwood or pine and painted them. And then the introduction of composite decking. And the composite decking, people started paying a lot more money for their decks because they wanted something that they didn't have to take care of anymore. And kind of that maintenance-free thing. So now people are kind of used to spending a lot of money on a deck. And these hardwoods are very compatible price-wise with a lot of the composites. Hmm. So now that's become an alternative because these hardwoods, they're so dense they won't float. And their color is gorgeous. And you don't have to do anything to it. You can just let it gray out and let it there. Or you can oil it or you can stain it. And it'll last your lifetime. You can actually put some of this wood in the ground, come back 75 years later, and it's still there.
Really?
Whole. So it's pretty cool.
And it does well in our weather and
yep.
our climate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yep. So I like using the hardwoods with custom iron or some kind of an iron railing usually.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'd never thought of that up here. I mean, I think so much of we've heard about is composite decking. I guess I've never really
right.
thought of
and that's what
using
I'm,
exotics.
I'm a wood guy. I mean, when you do construction, you're a wood guy. And so I'll do the composites, but I always offer that out and explain, No.
Price is comparable or more?
Price is comparable to composite decking. Even when I, this last order, I had to pay, I think, $800 to get it to me. It still was less expensive than the composite decking that they were considering.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, how did you get into construction?
I've always, my dad, I guess you would say, he wasn't a construction worker or a builder. He was a factory worker, but we did our work around our house. And he was the Mr. Fix-It and had all the stuff in the garage. So I think that's where it probably started. And in high school, I was kind of smart. So I thought, you know, I'm going to be a civil engineer, build bridges and high-rise buildings. Got to college, started taking the engineering classes,
like,
calculus. And I'm like, I can't do this. I'm not this smart. This math makes no sense anymore. So I ended up over at the business college, got a degree in real estate and urban analysis. And they always said the engineering school was pre-business. So I took the right route, I guess. So, and then just over the years, just that's all I've done is build. I built new homes. When I was building new homes, I found that half the time I'm remodeling the house as I'm building it. Because just something better came to mind as you see it. And so since I was doing that so often, I figured, you know, maybe I should be the remodeler. So I've concentrated my efforts on remodeling for the last about 20 years now and became a master certified remodeler because all we did was concentrate on existing homes and improving them. So. Which is a pretty significant accomplishment since there's only one other master certified remodeler in Arizona and only 80 in the entire country. So,
that's fantastic. Yeah. And we have one right here in Prescott.
Yeah,
right here. Here sitting across the table from us.
I know.
That's right. You want to touch
Should get
me?
His autograph. Should get his autograph before he leaves.
You can get that on a contract with your next kitchen remodel.
So with the Prescott market is, you know, not everybody, there's not a lot of places where you can build homes anymore. I suppose you're pretty busy with remodels.
Prescott is a good market for me and my business model. The way I used to own a really large company down in Scottsdale with a business partner. And we were at one time a $10 million company, the most award-winning residential remodeler in Arizona and all that goes that comes along with all that. But I was not a happy man. I was in the office all the time. I wasn't out doing design work. I was managing people and numbers, and I didn't want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, after many months of prayer and walked into my business partner's office and said, I think we're done. And he bought me out, and I moved up here. This is the condensed version. There's a longer story to all this.
There always is.
Yeah. So I moved up here and was working with my sister-in-law and my wife, who owns Ability, which is an agency in town, working with the developmentally disabled. And I didn't know what I wanted to do now that I was growing up. So I worked with Kyra for about a year and helped run one of her day programs, and we started looking into the work programs because the state and the government wanted to get these guys out to work. And we decided, why don't I start a remodeling company again and we'll put these guys to work? And so that's what we did. My first employees were a couple of the members from her agency, and we went out and put up fences and did whatever we could do to stay busy. And I just built it to a point where we're $1.5 million worth of business doing residential remodeling now. And I'm happy because I'm out doing design. I'm in the community. That was the other thing is, and I know you want to talk about how are we part of the community. That's what this mm-hmm. is all about. And I was in that big company in Scottsdale. I was part of other organizations, but it didn't mean anything. It was just on paper, you might say. Here, I go to the ribbon cuttings. I go out down to Park Plaza, have a beer, and see a ton of people I know. I'm part of the community because of our involvement in all the charitable events and with the veterans, and we just try to be a part of the community. So one of your questions pre-show was, you know, what organizations are you part of, and that really just kind of popped out one day. It was an interview like this, actually, for a magazine article, and that's when it dawned on me. That's why I'm happy here. It's not about me and my company. It's about me, my company, and how we relate to our community. Mm-hmm. My guys aren't measured on how much money have they made me, or how efficient, or how fast did they get something done. It's how happy is our client? Are they going to talk nice about us when they're out? Have we done a fantastic job for them? It's not about, and never, as far as I can hopefully tell, it will never be about the money. That's my problem, not my guys.
Right.
And homeowner. I'll work that part out.
Speaking of the community, what are you, you're part of the chamber.
Yep.
And then you're also, I'm assuming you're part of YCCA probably.
YCCA, yeah. We actually, yesterday we did a radio show. I'm her Sandy's step in side man from time to time, but yeah, we had a good show yesterday, and I help her out with that and participate in the different events. Actually, coming up here in January is a boot camp, so a little plug if there's any young men and women out there that are considering the construction industry for a job and a career. There's a 3-week boot camp starting, first or second week in January, and it's intense. 3 weeks, 5 days a week, full days, and you're going to learn the construction industry, and you're going to meet a lot of people because guys like me are doing the classes and doing the teaching. So I really strongly encourage you young people out there, because the construction industry can be an awesome career, and I'm proof of it.
That's fantastic. Who would they call?
I would say go to the website ycca.org or call Sandy over there, and the phone number's on that website as
That's fantastic. So 3 weeks, intensive training, contracting business, construction business. If you're a young person, we have lots and lots of building going on here in the area, and I mean, we don't want to lose people to other parts of the area, other parts of the state, but this is a great opportunity for people to learn a new trade.
Exactly. And I can give you a very high probability of getting a job as soon as you walk out of that class, because you will have learned so much. And I'd also encourage the young people to don't be short-sighted. Don't think because you go to work for a plumber, you're going to be in a plumber and crawling in crawl spaces and under sinks your entire life. You're going to learn something, a trade, and then one day you can open your own doors, hang your own shingle, hire a couple guys. And that's what this is really about, is looking to the future. I think in the old days we were short-sighted. A framer was a framer for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. And we need to look at, you know, how can we help these young people start their own businesses and help this community.
Absolutely.
Is there a cost for the boot camp?
Good question, and it's free.
Wow.
That's the other thing that's awesome about this. Now, there's another avenue that the young people can do as well, is through Yavapai College. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the board for them and their construction program, that the where you go to school a couple of days a week and you go to work in an internship 3 days a week. And we actually have one guy on our crew right now that's in that program. So that one will be probably, it takes longer to go through the course or the class, but you're paid along the way. And the goal is, I think, to be able to get more specified or specific training along the way.
That's great.
There's been a
couple of programs.
Hasn't there been a challenge locally in finding people who can come and work in the building industry?
There has been a challenge. It has been a challenge, and that's actually when I do my sales presentation to a homeowner when I'm first meeting them. That's one of the things we talk about is there is a labor shortage, so it will affect your schedule and how we get this thing produced. We're pretty good at managing it, but it's going to affect it. That's why we want to reach out to these young people, and we need to start catching them in high school as an option instead of letting them go down to the valley to get a job or something. That's stay here. There's some programs that might benefit you. Not everyone's made to go to college.
No, you're absolutely right. Our son's only three, so I'm not really up on what's going on at the high schools. But is there still, I guess JTED is still here?
JTED is still involved. And they were part of creating the Yavapai College.
Oh, okay, great.
And the other nice thing is that when kids leave these kind of programs, they're not necessarily walking into minimum wage jobs only because they have some skills, correct?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And that's the one thing they're going to find. You know, I was thinking about it the other day and how labor rates have not changed for probably 20 years. They're changing now. Mm. And these young people come in, they prove themselves. I think they could be on the fast track to a really good paying job.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So what makes ability different?
That's a good question. So we strictly concentrate on residential remodeling. That's how I became a master certified remodeler, is because I focused my career on that. And we've put policies and procedures in place to make that experience a fun experience for the homeowners. So all the homeowners have always heard about all these horror stories of coming in and demolishing my kitchen to get a check and then they disappear.
Right.
And we don't do that. Our whole process is meant to keep the homeowner happy and to enjoy the process. So I always encourage, and actually if you go to my website, which is abilitypreskett.com, there's an article I wrote there about the remodeling process called Remodeling, a Survival Guide. And it takes you through all the steps of the remodeling project from design all the way through warranty. And by reading that, you'll realize this is a long-term relationship mm-hmm. with this person or this company. And I encourage homeowners, do your homework before you get started in the entire process. Find that guy that you can trust, whatever it is. And I always say, you can talk to my guys in the field, talk to my contractors, subcontractors, my clients, my wife, my pastor, whoever you want to talk to know that you're choosing the right guy to do your project and have confidence in them so you're not second-guessing all along the way. When you try to go through that process with two or three contractors, everybody has just a little bit different way of skinning that cat, and you're going to be second-guessing yourself all along the way. So if you do your homework up front, choose a guy like me, you can enjoy the process. So, and that's what we have. We have systems and processes in place to manage the remodeling, and it helps everyone understand where we are, what we're doing, why we're doing it, when we're doing it, how we're doing all of those questions. And then if you still have that gut feeling something's wrong, you've got everybody on this team's phone number and you can call anytime.
I imagine one of your biggest jobs then is managing expectations.
I have a psychology degree too. So.
when our kids, you know, bought their first house, you know, the first thing my husband and I recommended is go see the money pit, and mm-hmm. or rent it, you know.
Right.
And but I mean, nowadays you see all these remodeling shows on TV, Fixer Upper and stuff, and it's like, oh, this is going to be done in a week, and that's not very realistic, is it?
It is not. When I had the big company, I had those programs come to us. They wanted us to participate in a lot of those different TV shows, and we went and do it because it was their expectations was that house being worked on 24 hours a day, and you had a schedule down to the hour, and you had to nothing could go wrong. And it was unrealistic, and I'm not going to participate in that. And then we also had the reality show people come, and they wanted to do that reality show on a remodeling project. And I'm like, you're flattered because they're calling you to want to do something like this. And we're in Scottsdale, so everybody around the country wants to hear what's going on in Scottsdale.
Right.
And I'm like, I do everything I can to keep the chaos at a minimum and to keep our clients happy. Right. Why would I want this radio show? It's going to be boring TV.
Right.
So I turned them down. So, but it is that managing expectations. And that's what probably one of the biggest things I've ever learned in the construction business is communication with the homeowner alleviates 90% of your problems. If you just talk to them and be accessible, I tell them in our first meeting, I'm going to communicate what's going on. You may not like it, but you'll at least respect me and know what's going on. And we have the best clients in the country here in Prescott. People are, they move here because of the friendliness of the community, and it relates or it translates into our business. It's just fun.
That's great. So we've talked about that you do remodels, but we've talked about decks and cabinets and those sort of things.
Yeah.
So what kind of remodeling do you do?
Well, we are what they call a design build remodeling firm. So I help homeowners with the design process, so they don't have to go hire an architect to draw something up at however many thousands of dollars that is, then give it to a bunch of general contractors to price it out, then find out that it's going to cost too much, send it back to the architect to have a revision on the drawings, and then send it back to the contractors to find out if that price... That's not an uncommon situation. With me, I take them through the design process. Part of being a master certified remodeler is doing the design. I forget the question, the process, right? So I take them through, what kind of company design build? So I take them through the design process. I put numbers to that project, and then knowing what their budget is, I can say, okay, we're 15% over. How do we want to make alterations so that we can create this job? What I have, my initial process is called the project analysis and design feasibility. So it's working with the client to take what they need, what they want, what the municipality is going to require. There's a homeowners association, what they want, and then what is our budget? These circles are all, imagine those all bouncing all over the place. Right in the middle, we have what that project is. My job is to take all those bubbles and bring them into the project. Once I've done that, now we've got a viable project and we can move forward. And I take the homeowner through that whole phase.
So, and size-wise of your projects range from?
Usually our projects are, I would say our average projects now are probably between 20,000 and 250,000. I'm working on a $750,000 project right now. That's not normal. Mm-hmm. Normals are kitchens and bathrooms and room additions and things like that. We also kind of pride ourselves in that unusual project. Some of the unusual things we've done, we built an observatory for a man out in Chino Valley. He bought his house just so he could see the stars, and he wasn't allowed to have the typical domed observatory in his backyard. So, because I guess you can buy those in a kit and you just put it up in the backyard. Well, we ended up building him it kind of looked like a little playhouse, actually. It had a little door, it had a window, it had a little step and planter box kind of a thing. But you'd walk in, and there's a stand that's mounted in a 3 foot by 3 foot by 3 foot piece of concrete that held the telescope. Very expensive telescope, hooks up to your computer, so we had to have power out there. And lights and carpeted and shelving and a desk here. And then, so he'd walk out, you walk in, unlatch a couple of things, and roll the roof off on a rig, onto a rig in the back of the building, and then push a couple of buttons, and that telescope would go zzz, 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 up to whatever galaxy he's looking at that night, and wow, hook it up to his computer and do all that. So it's like, that's kind of cool. And then another young couple, we built a climbing room for them. So like the, what's that new business where you can...
Climbing gym?
Yeah, the climbing...
I can't think of the name of it, but yeah, it's a climbing gym. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I built one for these people in their basement. And they had inverts and all this place. I bet there's... My son had sore hands because he had to drill like 4,000 holes to put all the rocks and the pegs and all the things in for them. So we kind of pride ourselves in being able to handle those different kind of projects where most guys are going to run away from that because it's not the norm.
Well, that's awesome.
Do you ask the homeowner to stay while you're doing your remodeling, or should they find alternative living arrangements for a while?
You know, we do everything we can to let them stay in their home because, again, my job is to make them as happy as they can be throughout the process. And sleeping in your own bed in your own home makes you the happiest. Mm-hmm. So if we're doing a kitchen remodel, as long as the homeowner understands you're not going to have use of your kitchen, we'll say, that's fine, you can stay here. We'll put up dust walls, and then what we do is we'll set up a kitchenette for them, and they'll have a microwave and a hot plate and their coffee pot, and all their little things will be just kind of set out so that they can have kind of a normal, at least morning routine. They may still be going out to dinner, but they could heat up ravioli or do some microwave meals if they wanted to. And so we've done several projects for homeowners that live anywhere else in the country, actually the world. My client from Japan called from Japan. They called me from there about a house here, and we started the process before they ever moved here. We've done whole house remodels for people that live out of state. So with technology the way it is these days, it's so easy to communicate, and FaceTime and photos and movies, and it's just, either way, we're comfortable. We want the homeowner to be as happy as they can be, so we work with them.
Well, it sounds like you really go above and beyond.
We don't brag about that, mm-hmm, so much as it's common sense to us and the way we do business. Is we want our homeowners happy. I want you to, you're going to spend $50,000 or $100,000 or $200,000 with us and doing this project. I don't want you to be stressed for 6 months while this project. I want to do everything I can to help reduce that.
So what would you say in this area is the most popular remodel right now?
You know, kitchens and bathrooms are always going to be the staple of a remodeling project. Room additions have been really popular. Done several whole house remodels. The older houses here in town that are dated with, mm-hmm, the galley kitchen and the low ceilings and things like that. So done several of those over the last couple of years. But, you know, we don't concentrate on any one of them, so...
A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
That's great, because it kind of fits in every budget, I would assume.
Yes.
And you do small projects, it sounds like, up to big projects.
Oh, yeah, so. Like the whole house. One of my favorite projects is down just outside the historical district off the park, and it was just a small little, what do they call it, a cracker box, mm-hmm, type of house. And it had all the little tiny rooms, and it just wasn't organized well. We basically gutted it, walls and everything,
wow,
except for the two guest bedrooms, and rebuilt the whole thing. And it turned out just spectacular. And it didn't look like it didn't go, if that makes, mm-hmm, sense. It was contemporary, but... old. I don't know how to.
Consistent.
It just presented itself
Kept some elements of its age.
Yeah, and then we also got to build a humongo deck on the side of it and a paver patio. So I always love, it's one of my favorite things, is how do we incorporate outdoor living with indoor living?
Absolutely.
So I'm always looking at that, whether they're asking me about that or not, is how can we do that, and I'll suggest things along the way.
Well, I think we touched on it a minute briefly earlier, but what do people look for when it comes to doing remodeling, hiring a contractor? You know, what do you recommend? I'm sure there's not like a checklist or anything of, or maybe there is.
Well, that remodeling survival guide that I wrote, that actually has a lot of good information in there, whether they hire me or not. It's funny because I'll know when someone's used it because I'll get there and they'll ask me questions right off of that list. And I'm flattered when they do that, but I'm also giggling because they don't realize that I wrote that and they're asking me that.
That's funny. So speaking of social media, website?
Yes.
What is it?
AbilityPrescott.com.
And you're on Facebook?
And we're on Facebook at Ability Prescott also.
Okay. And your phone number so people can call you.
You can call the office at 928-458-6044. Or there's a contact us through the website as well.
Fantastic. Any more tidbits you want to share about remodeling?
You know, I just encourage homeowners to do their homework. I've had to help too many people that got taken. Actually, just if we got one more minute, a quick story is I'm going with a guy down to court because he hired a contractor that tore his house up. He's not been able to use a bathroom vanity sink for over a year. Wow. He's been brushing his teeth in the kitchen sink, which is on a plywood countertop. The guy's not a licensed, bonded, insured contractor, and he had to take him to court, and this is what's happened. And I've had to rebuild kitchens, and the homeowner spent twice the amount of money that they planned on spending because they didn't hire the right guy from the beginning. So just like Sandy at YCCA always says, is check out these people. I strongly encourage that and do the homework. There's so much information on the internet anymore. You can learn so much there. But you can always call a guy like me. I'll help you find the right path for whatever your need is. Sandy over at YCCA, Chamber of Commerce. There's lots of resources locally that you can use.
Absolutely. Well, we want to thank you for being on the show today. We will air on Saturday. When you listen to this, it'll be Saturday. So I would say go to the Christmas parade, but by the time you listen to it, it'll probably be over. So
hope you enjoyed the Christmas parade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you again for listening to the Quad Cities Business Beat, and we will be back next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Signing off. This is Lynn.
This is Zach. Catch you next week.
Next week.
Mike. Bye.